I'm back to what I like to do. Went to New Mexico and I did run down the damn bulls. We talked about it on the last podcast. I didn't post any pictures of that New Mexico bull. I shot a bull while they were fighting. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen hunting, you know. And it was one of those deals. I was chasing the bull and I can hear him bugling. I can hear another one and I'm kind of following him 75 to 100 yards. He's going up through the timber. I can see him at times and there's cows everywhere, you know. And it's one of those deals that the wind was in my favor. I was lucky enough for that. But it got to where when I close the distance to about 60 yards and I can see him, his butt walking through the trees away from me. And as soon as I hear that other bull, this appeared to be right on top of him, and he came over the hill and they started fighting. I was not running, but somewhat running up the hill towards him. I was like, I don't care if the cows spook. Those guys are locked up. They're not going to know I'm there. And I ran up to 25 yards on those two bulls fighting. I got it on my GoPro on my stabilizer. It's just I watched it again a couple times since then, and it's about 3 to 5 seconds worth of the coolest thing I've ever seen, right? Because they were fighting away from me, and then once the one bull kind of turned side, I didn't see how big his rack was. I didn't even look, right? There's two bulls locked up. They look like mature bulls. The first one backs up, that goes broadside, and I thumped him. When they broke apart, the bull that I shot started running right down the hill at me. The other one turns to starts chasing him. I jump behind a tree, and they five to 7 yards of two bulls right by me. That's the first time I saw how big the racks were, right? I happened to shoot the smaller of the two bulls that happened to be all busted up. I didn't care. You know, it was one of those deals that's like that experience right there that I've seen bulls fighting in the distance, binoculars, 400, 500, 600 yards away, right? I've seen it on TV. I've never been 25 yards to two bulls pissed off. I mean, it wasn't like a little bachelor bulls sparring a little bit. It was full on, I'm going to kick the piss out of you. And they were, it was all that, man. And it was like, so to me, this hunting season, not just because I got through the sheep tag and not because I shot two bulls. I don't care that the bull I shot in Colorado wasn't a big bull either, but it was what I considered a mature bull. But the experiences I've had this year in the field, I tell you what, they're those ones that I'll tell the story to my kids 15 or 20 times, like the stories that I've heard from my dad, you know, and I'm sure you guys have some of the same, heard the same stories. You hear it over and over again, and it's like, you'll sit and listen to it every time. But those are the story. Those are the experiences, some of the experiences I got this year, and lucky enough to catch what would be at least until when the shot breaks on camera, because you know the downside of having a camera on your stabilizer is as soon as your shot breaks and if you drop your arm, it's no longer in the sight picture. But I've got both my elk kills to some extent, you know, at least the footage leading up to it on camera. So I don't know, man. I mean, whether you kill or you don't, and I posted it on my last post, it's like there's so much luck that is involved. You can be as prepared as you can be. You can have the best equipment, be grouping great. You can be in the best physical condition, have the best gear, you know, be hunting one of the best spots at the right time. And if that wind swirls, doesn't matter, right? If a cow spots you and they blow out, it doesn't matter. So that's where, I don't know, man. I mean, it's something that keeps us coming back because of how much variability there is in this game. And I don't know, I'm hooked forever.
And I think one of the great things that you touch on, and it's something that, you know, Casey and I have discussed, and I kind of, in my posting, as I tried to kind of create this live feed of my hunt with everyone, you know, for what I could, I did touch on it, and I touched on it on my last post, which was, you know, a lot of guys might look at the experience that I had, and I will tell you, being an owner of mountain ops and being in this industry, I feel pressure that I need to kill the biggest animals. And it's sad that I have that pressure. I don't need to. There's silly individuals and guys, and if you're listening to this podcast and I offend you, I'm sorry, but that will say that a person is not a good hunter or not if they don't kill the biggest bulls or the biggest bucks or the biggest things out there. And those guys will also say that, you know, they'll say a lot of things that are really like negative, and I can't stand that kind of person, because we're all on when I'm looking at this whole big picture, this brotherhood that Will talks about, we're all on the same team. And I can tell you, even the pressure that I had, I left it all out there. Casey and I hunted so hard, and we didn't squander any opportunity that we had. And I would have shot a raghorn if it had presented an opportunity. I would have shot a spike if I had an opportunity. I have been without elk meat for 2 years in the freezer. And I, like you, Phil, I wanted to experience my first elk hunt. I've never harvested an elk with a bow, and I wanted to experience that. And I didn't. And Casey, being the more experienced hunter, you know, he was kind of saying, oh, you know, maybe we'd see these good sized bulls. He's like, oh, we'll find bigger ones. And I looked at him, and I was like, Casey, like, I will shoot that. And he's like, you will? Like, yeah, dude. I was like, I'll shoot that. I'd be so stoked to kill that. And yeah. Casey's like, okay, well, that changes my game plan. I guess we're not trophy hunting. We're just getting you an elk.
It wasn't so much trophy hunting. He had a limited entry tag that he's not.
Because I got a limited entry tag, low points, great opportunity. And Casey's like, I've been waiting for this opportunity for 16 years. He's got, you know, in Utah, he's got 16 points, still hasn't drawn out for a unit. And so he wanted me to have, you know, that experience that he's been looking forward to. I will tell you this. I said this in my post, I did not come home from that hunt by any means empty-handed. I had a delicious lasagna tag soup, or whatever you want to call it, I can honestly say that I left that hunt. I learned so much. That experience and those stories that Casey and I had a similar experience to you, in the sense that I got within 40 yards of these fighting bulls surrounded by these landmines of cows. And I had literally ran up a mountain to get to this opportunity. I was in amazing shape that I was able to do this. I would have passed out if I had not been in the shape I was, but I got that opportunity. I got close. I did not have a storybook ending like yours, but that experience, I came down, I shared that with Casey, my brother-in-law, and it was so cool to be there and to experience that at such a close proximity. And so I came home with stories. I came home with knowledge, experience. And I think I want to speak to the viewers out there that are listening to this. Don't ever feel like you are not a good hunter, or that you're not capable, or that because you didn't, you know, have a successful harvest, if you will, or kill an animal, that you're not good, or that you can't, you know, talk about your hunt because you didn't have a big trophy at the end. The trophy is a great part of it. We get the opportunity to harvest an animal and get this amazing lean meat that's organic. It's the best meat you can get. You can never get this kind of meat at the grocery store. But the experiences that you have, the stories that you can tell, don't ever be afraid to share those. And don't be afraid to tell people that you didn't tag out. I publicly made it known that I didn't. And it was extremely frustrating, the hunting that we did, and all the time and effort and the sacrifices that our families made, our wives made, to let us go do this, and to come home empty-handed. My wife was like, what? Like, aren't you supposed to come home with an elk? Like, you didn't kill anything? Like, you can't do – are you supposed to even be a hunter? Like, don't hunters kill things? And, you know, and I just kind of wanted to say that. Like, I will never say that I am the most talented, experienced guy out there. I'm just like you. I'm just like everybody else. We have success and we don't. We learn from our mistakes, but we keep going and we do what we love, which is this awesome thing called hunting. Like, and now I saw earlier, you know, Phil, your little boy that's running around behind you. And Will, can I say anything, or is that not okay?
Not yet.
Okay, so, and I've got my two boys and Casey's got his two boys. And I'm excited for the opportunity that I get to take them hunting and share this passion and love that Casey and I have, that our dad shared with us.
I think that's
what it's all about.
Quick story, man. I mean, so where I hunt here in Colorado, I took my camping trailer, took the family with me this last weekend. So my uncle and I were hunting, but my wife and the boys stayed in the trailer, and the very first evening, we got there kind of late, but we hiked up, maybe a half mile from where I was camped at, and not very far, but My older son Dominic, he's five, he'll be six here in a couple months. He wanted to go. I was like, okay, let's go. Well, I took him with me. We get up to this one meadow I wanted to get into, and sure enough, there was elk up there. Well, one, the bull bugled, and he got to hear that. To see that his eyes light up, I mean, his eyes went boom, and he didn't see the elk, but he looked at me with big eyes, and he kind of pointed up like, is that what I think it was? And I'm like, that was a bull, son, you know. So he got to hear that. And then I shot my bull the next morning. He wasn't with me. I packed him out. That night I went and helped my try to call for my uncle. Well, the last morning, Dominic, my son again, he's like, Dad, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. I was like, you're going to have to get up before 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to have to, you know, we'll be leaving early. I'll wake up, Dad. I'll wake up. He puts his camo clothes on to go to sleep, so just in case, you know, just in case he didn't wake up on time, he's going to be ready to go, right? I was like, no, son, just, you know, wear your PJs, you'll be fine. Long story short, we get him up in the morning, we start hiking around, and I didn't take him very far. I had already killed. I was just kind of being up there more than anything in case my uncle got something to help him out. So we hiked around a little bit. I come down into this one meadow where we sometimes see elk crossing. And sure enough, I mean, I picked up my binos when I kind of got to the first edge of it, didn't see anything, walked down a little bit more. And once we got to the bottom and you can see through the aspens, I seen two bodies standing in 75, 80 yards into the aspen trees. And I told my son, I said, sit down, there they are. So he sat down, he got to see a couple elk. Well, one of them happened to be probably about a 300 class bull, you know, that I'm sitting there and I picked up my glass and I looked and I was like, oh, there's a bull right there. Right then the wind just kind of shifted, caught us, and he turned and whirled. Well, he got to see that bull running through the trees, and he's like, Dad, that was a big one, you know. So that was, you know, he got to go with me and experience some of that. And I tell you what, those two moments right there where we got into him and he got to hear it and he got to see him, he's hooked. He hasn't even been, you know, he's five. And it's one of those deals that, you know, I commented. It's like, well, he kicked every rock he could on the trail. He stepped on every branch that he probably could have stepped on. And, you know, doesn't know how to sit still yet, but he's in training, you know. So that's it was pretty cool to experience that.
Can we get his thoughts on that, Phil?
Can you hear, Will? What'd you see when we were hunting, son?
Elk.
What did you think of those elk, Dom?
Not bad.
Not bad?
Bad. Did you like hunting with your dad?
Do you like hunting with me?
Yes.
Talk like a big boy, kid. How big was the bull we saw?
How big was
it? Tell the wheel. Talk in the microphone.
Big.
Was he the biggest bull you ever saw?
No.
No? You've seen bigger bulls?
Yes.
Where'd you see big bulls? Your dad needs to know this.
Where have you seen bigger bulls? Real quick, come on.
Snowing?
No. You know what, Phil? You know what, Phil? His money doesn't work out for him, I'm going to trade him for you. He can be a podcaster.
He's not going to be able to get a honey hole.
Yeah. Nowhere, yeah. Will. Nowhere have you seen these big bulls.
He's starting to learn to tell stories like a real hunter.
That's right, man. Did you hunt? Yeah.
I've seen bigger bulls. Where you seen them? I ain't seen no big bulls. Get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, no, but it's cool, man. Yeah, it was cool. So, anyway, what do you got, Will?
This is something like we talk about. Your Casey is kind of the more veteran hunter of the family. You know, he's more well known. You go and learn from him this weekend. I'm pretty stoked. I get an opportunity to learn from one of my buddies who owns the pro shop I go to, Pass Through Pro Tune in Clinton. It's my buddy Jimmy. I call him Jimmy Big Shot Brown because everywhere he goes, everybody knows him, right? And he's taught me a lot about archery and shooting, and the guy has killed more deer than Blue Tongue. And people say, like, oh, there's no big deer in central New York. You know, you got to go to Kansas and whatever. I'm going to show you some pictures here right now. These are Jimmy's most recent deer, all local deer from upstate New York.
Wow.
Right? You got that one.
It's a wide sucker.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know. You know, do I see deer like this? No, I don't see any deer like this. But, you know, 20 minutes away, Jimmy's, you know, cutting them down. And so I'm pretty stoked that I'm going to go learn from somebody who just knows way more than I do. And that's the great thing about being hunters is, you know, you said it before, Jordan and Phil touched on a little bit. It's not just the end game. It's not just coming home with the biggest trophy anyone's ever seen. It's not about that. It's about going out there and learning and sharing the moments with each other. It's about Phil sharing these moments with his son. It is that camaraderie, that brotherhood, that being part of this tribe. I mean, as hunters, I honestly feel like we're lucky and fortunate to be part of this group, to do what we were born to do and be on this journey with everyone else who's decided to be hunters. And it's a privilege, it's a gift. I don't think there's anything better in the world you can be, you know, other than obviously a parent. But to be a hunter, it's, I don't know, it's spiritual, it's magical, you know. There's all these things all wrapped up into it. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of losing it here because it's almost describing hunting for me. There's so much to it, it's almost indescribable. There's just so many things you could tag on to what it's like to be a hunter. And I see people simplifying it, like with this whole Cecil the Lion thing. Like, people are more upset about Cecil the Lion than they are about the fucking Jared Subway guy touching little kids. It's like, allegedly touching little kids. It's like, give me a fucking break. Give me a break. How are so many people upset about a damn lion when so few upset about this dude touching kids? Get the fuck out of here. Ain't no hunters trying to go around hunting little kids. Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm talking about, Phil? You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, well, let me pull this earpiece out of my son's ear real quick.
Sorry, Phil.
You're good. Here, why don't you go upstairs?
Ear-muffs.
You're going to need to go upstairs right now, Dom.
Ear-muffs.
No, Dom, you hear this. You stay away from Jared the Subway guy.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. Just to put it all in perspective, you're right. It's, you know, what we do, you know, within our free time and what we decide to spend our time away from our families, you know, it's like, it's such a pure thing that's been done for years, you know, years upon years, that for the simple-minded people that just don't understand it anymore or think they've evolved past it. I mean, come on, you know, it's ridiculous. And, so yeah, I guess I don't have a lot to add to you on that, Will, other than I agree with you, and it's a joke, but I do really believe that the numbers of hunters that are being aware and being educated are growing, and you know, we're helping our own cause by or not, I'm not saying us, but hunters are helping their own cause by just starting to be educated and be aware, because that's what matters, and you start to get into a conversation with an anti-hunter that is surprised when you tell them how much money, you know, hunting brings into, you know, the protection of, you know, national forest and conservation for, you know, for everything that entails. And, you know, when you sit there and talk in an educated manner to somebody and don't get upset and don't get offended, then they sit there and they start seeing at least a little bit of shining a little bit of light on it. So I don't know. I mean, as far as the guy touching kids, man, I'll leave that one alone. I know that if some, I mean, me having two kids, and I'm sure you guys can speak on this. If that stuff goes down, man, it's going to be bad news, because that's one of those things that, you know. But anyway, as far as the hunting thing, yeah, man, it's, to hear you guys had a great time, it's never time lost. You know, hiking with your bow in the woods with your family and your friends and. The being able to tag out on something. I mean, what archery? I haven't checked lately, but the success rate for archery is still got to be in the low teens, right? Overall, it's not very high.
Third was something like 13%.
Yeah.
you know, between that 13, maybe 18% success rate. And that was one thing too, is, you know, hunting is such an incredible thing because it does, it's a culture that brings people together, not just families, but you create a family. Like, I think one of the things people have always asked me, and even asked Casey too, as they've seen Mountain Ops continue to thrive and grow each month, month by month, that is key to a lot of things. You know, internally we have an incredible team. Our products are amazing. You can't knock it until you try it. To be in business a year the way we have and have really no negativity, I think speaks volumes to what we're doing, because we're not doing any smoke and screens. I mean, you try the product, you experience it, you will see the difference that it will provide in your life. All that being said, I've told people as they've asked me, wow, how has your guys' business done so well in such a short amount of time? I was like, it's because of this family that we have here in this industry. It's why Casey and I wanted to be here. It's why, you know, for the last 10, 12 years, Casey and I being in business and being in the marketing, we always pursued clients in the hunting space. We always wanted to work with them because it's what we love. It's what we were raised to do, is to hunt. And that was one of the things that when we started Mountain Ops and we saw the success, it's because of people like you. It's because of people who it's because of hunters, outdoorsmen who embraced our ideology, our culture, as Will, you touched on it, and started to embrace it. It started to spread because it's everything that we're trying to do. It's all positive. There's nothing negative about our mission and our goals here at Mountain Ops. We just want to make people healthier. We want to make people happier. We want people to enjoy the outdoors more and enjoy their hunting experiences, whether you tag out or not. And I think that's what I love. And, you know, I can definitely say this, Phil, you talked about this earlier, as you said, you kind of alluded to, how as I was kind of sharing things on social media and to be able to be a part of that and experience that, I can tell you, I during that time as I was posting, the calls, the texts, the messages and emails that I received from random people, the Facebook messages I got of people cheering me on, it was so cool to experience that and see that camaraderie, that we're all on the same team. People were pushing for me who I didn't even know, you know, that wanted to see me have success out there with Casey. And that was something that I had never experienced before. And to have that, even when I didn't get it done on that hunt per se, not that it's my last hunt of my life. I have many hunts ahead and I've got lots of seasons to go. But the support that was there from this industry, these people that we love, I love so much that, I don't know, it's hard to describe it. You know, Will, you say it's really hard to describe hunting and how much you love it. It's a spiritual thing. It really is. It's hard to describe the brotherhood aspect of it, the camaraderie, the kind of people that are in this industry. And that's why we wanted Mountain Ops to be here, is because this is the kind of industry we want to work with. There's so much, I don't know, there's so much love. You know, and but at the same time, this industry is cutthroat. You cannot fool anybody. You know, you will be found out very quickly if you are not, you know, saying, you know, the right things, doing the right things, or if you're not a real hunter. You know, you can become exposed in this industry with how, you know, knowledgeable and experienced many hunters are and people are, and that's so. But we knew that going into it, and we're grateful to have the kind of response that we've had. And that's because of people like you and people like who are listening in this podcast. And we just want to, I don't know, I just want to say thank you. Sorry, I'm on like a thank you rant, but thank you for the support. It's a dream coming true for us to experience what we've experienced this past year. And we look so forward to the future of Mountain Ops and to have, because hunters are the lifeblood of our business. Right, everything that we do here, it's for you, it's for the hunters, and we're hunters ourselves, and so we're trying to figure out how we can do it better to make your experiences better too, so that we can have success. But, well, I think you hit it on the nose. Any time in God's country in the outdoors is time well spent, and nothing's lost.
Yeah, you know, you did a pretty darn good job summing up hunting right there. Better job than I did. But man, that's it. That's what it is. And the funny thing is, you come in and you say the thing about like, oh, you can't be, if you're not a great hunter, you'll be found out. But here's the thing. If you come in and you're not a great hunter and you just put your hands up and go, listen, I am not a great hunter, but I am very passionate, very hardworking, very honest, and I'm going to give this 110%. You can end up on a podcast with some really great hunters and talk to some really great people. You know, that's what I am. I'm not a great hunter. I'm not going to bullshit you. You know, Jimmy Big Shot Brown, he's a phenomenal hunter.
And, that's why you're hunting with him this weekend.
Exactly. That's why I'm going to go hunting with him, is to learn and to get better. But like you say, you're not a great hunter.
That's why I hunt with this guy. It's like if you learn from the best. And that, see, there's the thing is, it's like, I had so many people tell me, you know, when we started Mountain Ops, and I was kind of not as a veteran hunter as many are, and I don't have many, you know, kills under my belt, if you will. And people would say, I had a few individuals tell me, they're like, you should not, you know, you should tell people like that you're an experienced hunter. You should tell people, because if you don't, people won't buy your products. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, if they go search my Facebook and look, they'll see that I've killed, you know, animals and I'm a hunter, but they won't be like, dude, this guy's killed like the biggest things. Like, and I was like, I'm going to tell them who I am, because, dude, you tell people in this industry what you're not, people will see right through you. And I want people to respect me. I want them to respect Casey. I want them to respect our company, because like you said, Phil, we're relatable. I want people to be able to relate. I don't want to see like I'm out of touch. I feel like because of that relatability, I've been able to connect with a lot of people. Casey, and there's Casey that are more experienced than Casey. You know, Phil, there's people that are more experienced than you in hunting. There's always that person that's more. But the thing is for all those guys that aren't as experienced, you would be willing to share with me, not your honey holes and where you find the biggest bulls, but you're happy to give me your insight into what I could have done better on my hunt and what you might have done different from your past experiences. And I would soak that up. And that's what's cool about our community and this hunting community, is we are a tight-knit group. We are very well networked, and we have a lot of friendships, and we're willing to help each other out.
But you know, and you touched on that whole honey hole thing. I don't know, man. I mean, if you open yourself up, you know, start working out like the Mountain Warriors training camp we've got up here, right? There's some guys that I know one, for example, that Aaron just met this winter and took him up to scouting for deer. You know, it's like, will everybody open up their honey holes or the spots they don't know? But there is some people that will, right? Because at the end of the day, you can sometimes only get one tag a year. You know, you may not draw a tag in that certain area for 3 or 4 or 5 years. So why not help somebody else out that does draw a tag in that unit? Or why not, you know, be that guy to lend a hand and say, hey, you know what? You know, like you said, this works a little bit better than that. I've tried that, and this will help you. You know, so hunters, I think, at the root of what we are supposed to help each other, to help each other be successful. And I had a couple conversations with some guys that, in the middle of the season, they're like, man, we've been hunting these areas and not successful. You know, do you know anything? Like, you know, actually, I happen to have hunted fairly close to there. Why don't you try here? You know? And the guy's like, man, I can't believe you tell me where to hunt. And it's like, why wouldn't I try to help you where to hunt? I don't understand. You know, I don't understand the mentality, that close-minded mentality that some hunters give off. I don't get it, man. You know, I mean, you can point to where the biggest bull on the mountain is. You know, you can point him on a map. So this guy lives right here. Does that guarantee that guy's going to be able to go kill that bull? Nope. You know? So I'm not saying I'm going to open the floodgates to wherever, you know, to go hunt. But at the same time, if you can help somebody out occasionally, man, I'm all for it. You know, if you can learn from somebody else, I'm all ears, because I don't know everything. You know, I've been part of that 10% contribution or 13% for a long time, because there's times that I didn't tag out. You know, so I don't know. I think that we can all learn something from each other, you know, like I think we already have even a little bit here tonight. But I don't know, it's fun to shoot the bull about it, if nothing else, huh?
Yeah, good one.
And that's actually a really, really good point, because I can tell you this. There was a gentleman and his brother in this place where we hunted that when he had seen us come in down, they have this marina down there at this place. We come down from camp and they have a little kitchen that we could eat there. And we came down several times and he kept seeing us. And he's like, so how's it going? And, you know, Casey was like, it's just frustrating, man, stuff. We're just not seeing them. You know, we're not hearing them. It's everything against what we're kind of used to or would like to see happen. And he said to us, you know, well, I've got this buddy that I had, I've kind of kept this spot a secret, but he just tagged out. And I know there's some other good bulls in there. And the experience that we shared with you earlier, that spot we found and were brought to because of him. So he did exactly what you talked about. He's like, he lived there. He lives in the unit. And he actually puts in for a different unit. So he's not going to be drawn out for it. But he showed us this area that was his honey hole. And we saw bulls every day in that area. And we had opportunities in that area almost every day. And it's because of his genuine generosity where he, like you said, that mentality of like, I'm going to keep this to myself. He's never going to hunt it. But he was like, here's Jordan. I mean, I bartered a few Mountain Ops products, you know, but you know, I'm going to, you know, got to do what you got to do.
The game. That's right.
You know, but he showed us that spot and it changed our whole hunting experience because of that. Cause he was a local, he knew the area. He had helped others and we came to him submissively and said, can you help us? And he was like, yeah. And then he came and he hunted with us. He came and he was basically a guide. It was great. It was awesome to have that experience with him and his brother. So I agree 100% with your comments. I know Will won't agree just because like, he already got after me for getting in somebody else's tree stand. You don't get in somebody else's tree stand. You don't tell somebody else's honey hole spot.
That's all I'm saying. No, I just say the honey hole spot. I'm saying you don't tell anybody if you were in somebody else's tree stand.
We're Western hunters, man. We're kind of that whole tree stand etiquette stuff. That's out the window, man. We don't know.
All right. I see how it is.
Yeah.
We're all on the same team over here.
Listen, I can defend the East all by myself. I don't need any help. Let me ask
you guys.
You, Phil, you dominated this season, killed two bulls and a mighty fine ram. You guys, you know, may have struck out for now, but you'll be heading back. What kind of binocular harnesses did you guys have strapped on your chest?
You know, we've been using that new Alaskan Guide Creations this season.
Hold on. Somebody in the room seems to be shuffling some paperwork.
I don't know. This is kind of diverging. I'm opening up something very special.
What are you opening up? What do you got there? Will Bradley to Jordan. I see what that is. What do you got there? What do we got there in that box?
Not to take away from Alaskan Guide Creations, because those are amazing harnesses.
Amazing.
Excuse me. I just don't know if they are as amazing as Mountain Ops National Boar Hunter custom toilet paper with Casey and Jordan's faces.
Oh, don't forget the Iceman's face. Oh.
You want to feel a little bit about Phil? You know, look at the cup. That just says, wipe me.
Wait, here's the best part.
100% magic inside.
1,000% unicorn.
Extra zero on this. 1,000.
Oh, 1,000% magic inside.
With this toilet paper, we guarantee 1,000% magic inside. I have been saving that for this podcast, and I just realized I was like, I got to open this stuff up because this is like Christmas. Well, and we're actually going to do an auction for this after this podcast. We'll figure those details out. Maybe we'll work something out. But
I say
we donate
the proceeds to the Warriors for Wishes.
We're going to donate the proceeds, yeah. So we're going to get somehow we're going to figure out how to make this special.
We might want to add some other stuff to
Oh man, dude, that was so great when I got that. I was like, oh man, dude, you're a man of your word. That's the thing that we love about you guys. You guys are men of your word, and you deliver. You know, we got a guy here in Salt Lake called the Mailman, Carl Malone, and I can say that the East has you. They've got Will, man. The guy delivers. But we use, Casey and I use those, for the first time, we use those Alaskan Guide Creation vinyl harnesses. I don't know. I loved it. I absolutely loved them.
Yeah, I've used the
Badlands. I'm not saying that. I'm not a paid endorser. That's just my own honest opinion. I absolutely love the experience I had with them.
Yeah, we've used the Badlands, the Horn Hunter. We've used, let's see, which other one?
Well, Easton Outfitters had
Easton
one
that Outfitters we did. Had one that we tried out. And honestly, I've never been able to run with something so securely on my chest. And that...
Phil, you would appreciate that, right? Of all people.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like, Brad or Will, we understand that you just climb up a tree. Do you
use I wear them when I climb up that tree. I need my
do you guys use, like, once these are unrolled, do you just tape two of these together and just use those?
No, I mean, when you're sitting on a cornfield, you know, you're looking hundreds of yards away.
But the running and gunning, you know, a couple stories that we've shared with today, the low profile, this accessibility of it, the comfort. I mean, honestly, there's only a couple things that I would potentially add to it just for my own personal style of how I would change it up a little bit, but it is absolutely fantastic. It really is an awesome vinyl case. The other thing that we've been testing out that is new this season that we've never used before, for the last few years, we've been using Vortex Optics, running the Razors, Talons, Diamondbacks, just all kinds of different products from Vortex. But we've been trying out those new Maven binoculars.
Whoa! I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, you guys have designed shit for Vortex, right?
Yeah, no, we have a great relationship with Vortex. I mean, I've got Vortex scopes on all my.
I just put a new Vortex. Both of us did. We just put new Vortex scopes on our Christensen arm rifles. I mean, we have. I mean, they're glass. I use the Razor HDs, is what I've been running for the last 2 years. I love them. Absolutely, the performance of them, the clarity of them. Everything is top notch. You get out of that glass everything you put into them as far as money. We had the opportunity to get some Mavens. I ran the B2s.
Yep.
11 by 45s, and Casey got the B1.
Do you have them there with you?
I don't. But I'm gonna pull up a picture so that the viewers can.
Did you guys go custom? Did you both?
We did custom. We did this. This is what they look like. We did the black Typhon cryptic pattern,
yeah,
with the orange accents, and then they put on Mountain Ops Mountain Warrior on that little ring by the eyelid.
Ooh, child.
I ran those completely unbiased, purely as I really wanted to test them against my Razor HD Vortexes, and I can honestly say. Again, I'm not a paid endorser by any means. I was very impressed with the performance of the glass, both the performance of the clarity. It performed in low light situations, both morning and evening, extremely well. And so I was very happy with those optics. I still love my Razor HDs, but I have nothing bad to say about those Mavens. Those guys, what they're doing, they have some great glass. They have a great product.
For the viewers that are actually looking at it, probably have never heard of Maven. This gives you an idea of what our.
Get a little closer. Can you get closer?
I'm working on it.
There you go.
That good?
Oh, that's nice. You went with the orange knob. You went with some silver objective rings, I think they are. And then you went with the orange, I forget what the other end's called. I'd have to look that up, but that's nice with the cryptic Typhoon. Yeah, those are nice, great-looking binoculars.
Yeah, so one of the things that we experienced the first time we went down on the elk hunt, because that was the first time we got to really pull them out and start using them, was that all the fires that were going on, we couldn't see 500 yards in front of us. So glassing for the first week was almost non-existent because you just couldn't see. So we got back, and the guys from Maven called, and they're like, hey, you know, what'd you think? And I said, honestly, I didn't get to use them. Like, I'm going to have to put them to the test another time. And we got down, and like I said earlier, the only time we saw stuff was early light in the morning and then right before dark at night. So you had to depend on an optic that could literally take you to past shooting light. And that the both binos that we had, their B1s and B2s, both performed like fantastic. And for their price point, I don't think that they could be beat for the type of range we were getting in those early and late hours. You know, any optic's great in the middle of the day. Trust me. Like even like some pairs of Simmons that I bought earlier in the hunting days, they perform great. But what I noticed was it was literally past shooting light, and we were still watching stuff, grazing in meadows, walking out, and I said, you know what, this is quality glass right here. So we haven't really exposed too much with it. We've got some super sweet photos, but we still are honestly putting them to the test with other factors that we usually do with gear before we give a true honest opinion. But right now it's at like an A+ rating on them. And the custom, I mean, the packaging, they even gave us a handwritten note. Did you get a handwritten note?
Oh man, I'm gonna talk to Brandon next week. He's our podcast guest on Wednesday. Maven Optics, we will have Brandon on, and I'm gonna have to talk to him. I did not get a handwritten note.
I've got to look for it, but we got a handwritten note, and I was like, dude, that's class. Like, I wish I could give out a handwritten note for every order that went out that just said thank you. You know?
Yeah. See, I have to do mine verbally on podcast.
That's that, yeah. Right. That's how I do my thank yous. If I remember, it's like, and here's the thing. It's so cool to work with companies like that. Talk to guys like that. Talk to guys like Carlos and Jared from Alaskan Guide Creations. Who, I mean, just their packs, like you say, they're phenomenal. Blow most others out of the water. And, you know, you guys, you know, innovators, and you ask why, you know, sometimes archery or hunting is a tough industry to be in. It's because there's a changing of the guard, and the old guard that's going out is maybe a little behind this trend of the positivity and the whole brotherhood surrounding the pushing hunting and helping other guys out. You know, usually this is where I do a great segue as we wrap up the episode to, hey, have you ever heard of Mountain Ops? But I'm guessing you two have.
Do it anyways.
A little bit. I want to hear it anyways.
Hey, Phil, have you ever heard of electrolytes?
Nope.
You haven't heard of electrolytes?
No, but I have heard of a nitric oxide boost in the Enduro that, is it what, 15-hour, 20-hour plus energy boost? 20-hour boost. And I will say that, Will, when you're packing out a bull elk on your back, you mix a little bit of that Enduro with some Yeti, and it's money. And you get it done, and you get the bull off the mountain, and it's like gold, man. It's like liquid gold. So I have heard of the Mountain Ops. I haven't tried the Magnum yet.
Oh, wait, you don't have any Magnum, Phil?
No Magnum.
Oh, shit. I got chocolate and vanilla over here. You don't have any?
I might have to enter my promo code NBH20
at checkout. Get you, Phil.
20% off of my purchase, Mountain Ops. I think I'm gonna have to get on there and get me some Magnum because I'm a little jealous of Will.
I heard you were a Magnum man, Phil. You don't have.
Let's leave my wife out of this, Will.
I mean, if you guys want some high-quality protein, you can check out the Magnum. If you want some great pre-workout, you can check out the Yeti, which I will tell you, I've been taking – I said I'd never do it again, and I did it again. I took some Yeti tonight before the podcast, and I took it a lot earlier than last time. So hopefully sleeping will be an option. Tonight. Yeah, hopefully sleeping will be an option.
Speaking podcast, you can try the Enduro.
Enduro, no, I'm not.
It's still going to give you that 20-plus hour nitric oxide release, all the benefits that you would potentially get out of the Yeti without the stimulated caffeine.
Oh, yeah, no stimulation, no caffeine. Who wants that? Nobody.
I don't know.
Casey, I'll tell you how it breaks down, Jordan. I'm going to tell you how this breaks down. If I'm going rock climbing, if I'm doing any sort of biking, I will take the Enduro. But if I want to like go hit home runs, call it Bayrou style grand slams, I'm taking the Yeti. The Yeti has become a part of a. There's another pre-workout I mix with it that I'm not telling anybody else what that one is, but I will tell you this: it's half of my PR blend that I have now. This past Saturday morning, I hit a 7.5 pound snatch. I mean PR in my snatch, and it came out of nowhere, and that weight went up so easy, and I was like, "Oh, I found it! I found the PR blend." And I will tell none of you ever. That I will take to my grave. That's my honey hole, my own personal honey hole. You tell you this. Half of it is Yeti.
I guess there's a supplement honey hole then.
You lost me at 7.5 pound snatch. Sorry. let's get back to mountain ops. Hey, nothing against my CrossFit friends.
Away from mountain ops when you did that.
Yeah, it – yeah.
Or you can be like Phil, or you can – so you can be like Casey, and it sounds like, you know, Will over there. You get into hashtag Yeti mode, you know, and you love to just
– Hashtag Flatty Nation, by the way, for any of you.
On. Yeah, I know. I bet
if you want to sport this beautiful, beautiful flat brim, you can also go to Mountain Ops and get one for yourself. Any new flat brims coming? That's what I want to talk about. Any new flat brims coming? What do we got coming down the road out of Mountain Ops?
We have a whole lot of gear that's
coming out. Anything you could show our listeners or our viewers who are viewing?
They did. They showed us the sheep shirt. Come on, Will.
No, I thought that was before we started the report.
We've got a lot more designs coming out. Hats, belt buckles.
Ooh. Nice. What kind of belt buckles?
I want one.
Belt buckles or cheap belt buckles?
No, good quality belt buckles.
I like that.
We'll also have lots of new apparel designs and different, you know, obviously we're moving into winter, so we'll have more thermal, long sleeve, hoodies, you know, stuff like that. And I will only touch on this because we're nearing the end.
Touch it lightly.
Yeah, I will tread lightly, but Mountain Ops in the last year has come into this industry, and we have done some amazing things because of the amazing people who have supported us, you, the listeners. If you haven't yet tried Mountain Ops, please take their advice. Try it. Use NBH and get 20% off your order. And get 20% off your order. We kind of turned things upside down. In the last year with how our product line, we're going to increase that product line. We're going to add more to it. We're going to do a lot more here at Mountain Ops. Like we've always said, we're never satisfied with what we have. We're always going to improve it and make it better if we can, and we're going to make new things that are going to address hunters' needs in the outdoors, both in the gym and on the mountain and in the stands, Will. We got something new that we're working on that come 2016, I think everybody is going to freak out, be like, oh my gosh, like,
oh, I know what this is. I know
finally. Mountain Ops is going to change the industry again. I'm just going to say that right
this.
Now I am excited for 2016.
I've been waiting for this one. I know what this is.
You know what this is?
I do. I actually know what this one is. When you let it slip, and I know what it is.
So we will
tell you, listeners, although I should say, forget Casey, forget Jordan, forget their big plans to unveil this on some other show. Let's expose you right now.
Would you like a little spoiler of something that's happening Sunday?
Yeah.
Give me a Sunday. I didn't even think about that. I'm looking into 2016, and next week.
So Sunday, truck for a buck too.
Oh,
nice.
Nobody knows that. Literally nobody knows that.
You heard it here first.
You guys are running that again? You almost had to pay for that truck last time. How are you going to do it this time?
We just like giving stuff away.
Promo code NBH20.
Please, Mountain Ops needs to keep afloat for one more year. Use that code.
This last quarter. Okay, seriously though, 2016 is going to be epic. Whole new Mountain Ops, like, you're like, how can you – you're only a year old. How can you do it again? We'll do it. You're going to love it. We'll actually get you two in on it, and we'll get you some of the stuff we're talking about so you can try it out.
I told you. I know what it is. I want some, but I know what it is.
I love you, dude. I know a secret, too. You want me to tell everybody about your secret?
No, we're keeping secrets. Yeah, thank you, Casey. Thank you.
Such I'm just saying, you're holding this over me.
Here's the thing.
I know, but I'm not going to share
it. I'll punch him if it slips.
Here's the thing.
He would, too. He wouldn't punch me in the shoulder. He'd put one right here.
Jordan, you know what I want from you? When are you guys unveiling this? When's this big to-do being unveiled?
As far as the new product for next year.
When's
probably December.
ATA or SHOT Show.
ATA. All right. Here's the deal.
ATA.
Here's the deal.
ATA. We'll launch it.
ATA. When this gets launched, Phil and I want to be there, podcasting, live for it. We want in.
Are you guys doing a booth at ATA?
We'll have a booth at ATA.
Didn't you know that?
Cool. Are you gonna have any booth dates?
For the official booth. Podcast.
We're just gonna have.
We're just bringing you two.
Okay.
Wait.
And
so
Bill, what I've seen and how you like to let us know how you like your shirts, I think.
I'll be ready.
Wait. Why does Phil look like he didn't know we were doing this?
I'll be ready.
You didn't know we were doing this?
Hey man, you gotta act surprised about some stuff. Will, come on, man.
Oh shit! I was worried for a second. You didn't know we were doing this.
So everybody, as you will know, hopefully this gets edited and put out there in the next couple days, but Mountain Ops will be giving away a truck, and this truck that we're giving away is, I want it. I mean, it's an awesome truck.
Wait, can you tell us what truck it is? Are you not telling us?
I'll tell you who the maker of it is.
Is it a 67 International Harvester in light blue? Is it really?
I told you not to tell anybody.
Wait, is it really? Because that's
seriously,
like my deep truck.
Snatch that away from me.
You guys are bullshitting.
You took away my PR, which
you
is.
You guys bullshitting me? Is this a bullshit?
Well, you're gaining a PR snatching over a cross.
I don't know what's going on here.
Will, if you win, they're giving you a Prius.
Fuck that. What's the truck?
That's too good for Will.
What's this truck?
I'll give you a smart car.
What kind of truck is this you're giving away?
Dodge Cummins.
It's a Dodge Cummins.
I mean, it's no International 67, but it'll do.
Looking forward to see that.
So we'll launch that next week. Every $5 you spend on Mountain Ops at what will be www.truckforabuck.com will enter you in to win this truck. So, I mean...
Phil's got a great opportunity because he's buying all his Mountain Ops at full price, listeners. He's not the only one. Phil doesn't even use the coupon code. He buys it at full price.
I'm not too proud to spend a couple bucks for the cause, man. Hey, you know,
we appreciate
stretch
this.
My back, I'll stretch your back.
Yeah, well, and when I talk about people who support us, I feel like you support us. I feel like I get calls and texts from Will, and he's like, dude, where's my subs? Where's my vanilla protein? Hey, do you guys got chocolate in?
Yeah, here's actually something Will
just got out of ammo.
Will needs to bring this up. There's new T-shirts out, and he doesn't have any. So what's the deal with that? What's the deal with the no new T-shirts?
Just consider me your athletic supporter.
These are ones we've been running forever.
I feel like I need to shift gears a little bit and take Phil's, you know, texts and calls that I've been neglecting because you told me to.
Hey, because the other reason is No Limits Archery is probably going to just put in an order here in the next couple of days anyway, and that's like real dollars, right?
And that's right. Everyone should mark their calendars because on November 7th is having their grand opening. I mean, yes, they are open now, but
grand
it's not
reopening.
As grand as it will be.
And reopening.
And there's a chance you will find Casey and Jordan there at that grand opening.
I've sent out the personal invite, so we're hoping we can get the Mountain Ops crew to represent and who knows, man, we might roll out the red carpet for them and throw a big old party. So November 7th.
And you see this Natural Born Hunter T-shirt I'm wearing right here? We're gonna get this tweaked, and there's a possibility you will be seeing a Mountain Ops Natural Born Hunter collaboration on the final version of it, which I will send to you, Phil, Casey, and Jordan, and I will cover the cost. That's my gift to you. That's my gift to you, boys. I will pay for those three shirts personally. I will pay for.
You guys are awesome. We love being on your guys' show. Seriously, though, thanks so much for having us on. It's always a good time to just seriously shoot the breeze with you guys. I like it.
And that's what it is, man. We appreciate it again. We'll talk again soon because we definitely have some things we need to work on here moving forward. But thanks again for supporting the show and dealing with my lovely co-host in all his beautiful fashions.
I am.
Hey, guys, that's all I got. Good catching up with you guys again. And I don't know, man, until we see you guys soon.
That's right. So till then, wake up, chase your dreams, repeat.